Our Bible reading tonight is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. You'll find that on page 714 if you're using the Pew Bibles. Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 to 8. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord, The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. And this is God's word.
Won't you join with me in prayer before we look at our passage? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have spoken to us through the prophets. We pray tonight that we would see more of what this means for us to live as people who call upon you as our Father. May you speak through the power of your Holy Spirit. May your words be pressed upon our hearts to the glory of your name. Amen. Have you ever been uneasy about something? Have you ever been worried you might lose a friend? You might lose a job? You've been called into the office room and they're cutting the jobs. You're unsure of your future. Have you ever had to face the music for something you've done? Have you ever had your sin confront you? Have you ever dreaded the consequences of this very sin? Have you said some things you just wish you could take back? Some things that if you had just not said would have changed your situation, would get you out of this place that you are stuck in. Have you ever been overwhelmed to the point of just wanting to run away, to shut off, to close off to the world, to not be contacted? Have you ever been in a situation where you've just felt no hope? You can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But there's nothing you can do to not be distressed. When we're in these moments, how is it that you respond? When we're in distress, when we're anxious about something, and we're not sure of what is to come, is there something you know that helps? Have you tried different things, tested the waters, tried to get out of a situation that you're just so stuck in? Have they had success? Have they not worked? Have you seen someone pushed so far to the edge that no matter what words you say to them, it just seems like there's no hope? Nothing's getting through. And what do you do now? Does their hopelessness lead you to hopelessness? Or is there comfort that can be brought into these situations? I want to suggest that there is a clear answer, that in all circumstances, in all times, with all people, there is comfort that is available to all of us. And why I can say this is because here in our text that we've just heard read is an example of God's comfort to his people. So look with me in verses 1 to 2. And firstly, we see comfort promised verses 1 to 2. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Isaiah at the time, just prior to this, has given us 39 chapters worth, given the people of God 39 chapters worth of judgment, hearing of how God will judge them for their sins, how they will be their sins paid for, how they will have to face the consequences of their sins. If we look just a chapter back in 39, verse 5 to 7, then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord, and some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood who will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Imagine for a moment you're living in a time where you know there are people that are called of God, people that come proclaiming his word, and often it is not good news. Often you're worried, what are they going to say this time? Has God maybe turned away too far this time? Is there actually any hope? What are they going to say? You begin to fear when this person would come, this prophet of God would come, and you're not sure of your future. Think of the elder's response in 1 Samuel, that when Samuel arrived in Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" It was a usual thing to be worried when a prophet would speak, because often it was not good news. Imagine you've just heard chapter 39 that your people would be taken away, that your children would be taken. The place you worship would be destroyed. You've heard that there is a time coming soon when punishment for sin will come, where you are captured along with your possessions. What hope is there? What are you thinking in that time when you know what's coming your way? Some time goes by, days are filled with anxiety. God has left us to die, we say. And then Isaiah is back. A new message has come. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. And this comfort here simply comes from words, God's words, specifically verse 2. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. This time for hard service means there is hard labor in exile, made slaves. There's a time of forced labor, but only for a time. It will not be permanent. There'll be a time when the debt is paid and no longer will there be this hard forced labor, not living as they ought. Instead, there will be comfort that her service has been completed. The people could now hear and see that God is still there. He has not forgotten the promises he made with his people. He has not left them on their own. He is still there and he's offering comfort. There is hope of the things to come. How do we understand her sin has been paid for? How do we understand that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins? What does this mean? I think it's first important to say what is not being said here. It's not being said that they have earned their way out of this judgment of God, that they have somehow paid for their sins by their actions, that they have done the right things, and now all of a sudden their sins are forgiven. They're not held accountable. It is not saying they can be made right with God if they just earn their way back. Rather, it is saying that God has acted. He has taken away the consequences of their sin. And not only this, but he's given them a double blessing. This word double simply means that God's blessings are ample, abundant, beyond expectations. The sins of God's people have deserved punishment, but God has offered forgiveness and eternal life instead of this. It's not what they were expecting. To quote a commentator's observation on this, he says, "The Apostle Paul grasped the meaning of this clause when he wrote, 'But where sin increased, grace increased all the more.'" Romans 5, verse 20. See, God's grace is always greater than the situation that we are in. There is comfort in God's grace, knowing that no matter what sins we have done, no matter how far we think we are away from Him, no matter how evil we are as a people, there is comfort in the fact that God is a forgiving God. That is grace we cannot measure. That He has not only forgiven us, but He has provided a way for us to be forever with Him, bound eternally in His presence. Not because of stuff that we have done, but because sin was completely and fully dealt with on the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news has come. Comfort has been promised. This comfort that is promised continues. And secondly, we see comfort revealed in verses 3 to 5. Comfort revealed. A voice of one calling, verse 3. "In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of Yahweh will be revealed. And all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken." Comfort being revealed. Prepare the way, the King is coming. Prepare the way, go ahead, make a level path. Prepare the way, a way that is noticeable and useful, a way that prepares the way for the ministry of Yahweh, where His glory is made known to all mankind. We know that when we hear these verses, our minds rightfully go to the Gospels, where we see this fulfilled in John the Baptist preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. And while we're here, I think it's helpful to stop and think, how did John the Baptist prepare the way for Jesus? John spoke on this in the morning and helped us to see this. But to say it again, did he literally build a path? Did he literally move valleys and mountains? What he did do, he preached repentance and forgiveness of sins. In Mark 1, verses 1 to 4, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so, John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John was preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sins. This, in the very moment, is what our text is saying, that the glory of Yahweh, the glory of the Lord will be revealed, the glory of the gospel of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That repentance and forgiveness for sins is found in Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that, again, we know this, all of the gospel accounts understand this passage in Isaiah is talking about John the Baptist. But we can go further than that. It's interesting because all of them affirm that the one whose way is being prepared by John is in fact Yahweh. It is in fact the Lord. Why would John prepare the way for someone else other than this? Why would the gospel writers have this if they did not consider Jesus to be the Lord, to be Yahweh? Clearly, this one who Isaiah prophesies is Yahweh, hundreds of years before he came. Clearly, the one who John prepares the way for is Yahweh. Clearly, then, as we know, Jesus is Yahweh. And I know it, in a sense, we don't have to say this. Hopefully, for those of us who are believers, we already know this. We've heard it before, but it's significant. Because here, right here in our text, is an easy way for us to stand up for our faith. That when people question and challenge us on Jesus, those who say that he's not God, those who deny him as Yahweh, we can point them to the Word to draw these connections. While we may not be struggling with this idea, how helpful could it be for that very person who is? To help them to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is this John preparing the way for Yahweh? Why is this comforting? Ultimately, it's because we see the promises of God being fulfilled. The promise that a man will crush the head of a serpent. The promise that the earth would not see complete destruction by a flood. The judgment would be withheld. The promise that from Abraham all nations would be blessed. The promise that from Moses blessings would follow from obedience. The promise that from David's line a king would come and this king would be on the throne forever. That from this passage in Isaiah 40 being fulfilled in Jesus, all of the covenant promises that God made in the Old Testament are fulfilled. That God was true to his word. The comfort of God is revealed as we see the redemption plan promised and as we look back and see that it is complete. We are privileged to be on this side of the promises. We are no longer waiting for this to be fulfilled, for the glory of Yahweh to be revealed. But we, as people of God, have comfort because he has revealed and answered this in Jesus. And we see more of this in verses 6 to 8. And lastly, we see comfort confirmed. Verses 6 to 8, comfort confirmed. A voice says, verse 6, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. How is it we can know that the comfort that God speaks of can actually be attainable? How can we know that we will be comforted by God? How is there comfort in being told that you are grass? You know, in all the times that I've been camping, there's been a few times where wind has come and completely destroyed something. It's funny to watch it happen to someone else, but unfortunately when it happens to you, it's not a good feeling. And you can look at a tent, for example, being set up. To the naked eye, it looks good. You can see there's a door to go in, there's access, there's room inside, It's got its rain cover on. But if a wind comes through, a strong wind comes through and blows, the chances are that tent is not going to stay there. And that tent is not going to stay there because it is not pegged down. It's missing the firmness of those pegs to ground it, to keep it there. And it's exposed. The second that wind comes, it's seen as a fraud. It's not going to stand. It's going to fall down. It's going to blow away. We see that this tent, without any challenge, looks legit. With calm conditions, it looks fine. But it's an illusion because as hard things come, its weakness is exposed. And in a similar way, when one looks like a Christian, when one can sound like a Christian, say the things a Christian says, when one can pretend to others that they are saved, and they can say the right words, when such a person is challenged by their circumstances, they are easily blown away. When pressure comes, they back away from sharing their faith. When their friends do something wrong, they join in. When a hard trial comes their way, they turn and they blame God. When their faith is tested, they do not stand. They are easily blown away, blown around. The reality is they have no firm foundation. Their faith is exposed. Their sinful nature is seen. And I'm sure there are times when we are all like this. As much as we hate to admit it, we are like the grass that is blown in the wind, so easily changed, so easily moved, so easily we give in. But praise God that He is patient, that He is kind and merciful, that when we do these things, when we deny Him, that He is slow to anger, that He is abounding in love, that even in these moments, we can find comfort because He offers us another chance. We may not always get it right, but we can always go back to Him. Of course, there are some who will hear the word. They will hear all these things and they will reject Him to the point that they are given to their sinful desires. Their hearts are hardened. But for those who recognize their weakness, who recognize the frailty of their life, who have seen the sins that they have done, those who are willing to confess that they need God's help, that they need salvation, to such people, God will always forgive, will always welcome, will always accept. While we are like grass and we move, we're blown around, the God who we read of, who has spoken to us, is not like this. He does not change. As verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. And no matter what happens, the words of God stand forever. The world can go through a war. Nations can be fighting each other. Evil can be left unpunished by society. We can feel as if as Christians we are isolated, as if there's no hope for us. But no matter what is going on around us, there is one thing that is always true, that His word will stand forever. Even the wicked will blow away. Even their words against us will blow away. But God's word, only His word, will stand forever. There's a French skeptic, Voltaire. He was an infidel who died in 1788, and he said, 100 years from his time, Christianity would be swept from existence and passed into history, that the Bible would be a forgotten book. Many years after his death, the Geneva Bible Society used his press, his printing press, and his house to produce hundreds and hundreds of Bibles. God's word stands forever. Throughout the ages, people can think that it will blow away, that it will not be relevant, that people won't read it, people won't want to listen to it. But history has proven year after year, generation after generation, that it stands, that it is what it says it is. The promises of God will stand. He will never leave nor forsake us. He will never test us beyond what we can bear. He will never turn his face away from his children. He will always hear us. He will always forgive us of our sins. He will always answer our prayers in accordance with his will. He will always be working out all things for our good and his glory. He will always be there to comfort us. He will always be our rock and our sure foundation. He will always take care of his sheep. He will always prepare for our needs. These are just some of the ways that his word stands forever, that we can cling to. But his word standing, it also means he stays true to punishing wickedness. That there will be a time of judgment, that those who do not repent, those who do not call on Jesus as their Savior and turn from their sins, will be punished forever. That those who mock us, that those who are so evil they would kill innocent babies, that those who are sexually immoral, idolaters, false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing, those who deny their need for turning away from sin and living as Jesus commands, he will punish. He is a God of mercy, but he is also a God of justice. Justice that brings forth his eternal wrath on all those who reject Jesus as their Savior. That there's a day when all of us will be judged. And those who walked that wide gate, that easy gate, the gate that the world walks, defying God, will be sent to destruction. But there's also a day when those who walked the narrow way, those who walked the way that is hard, that does require work on our behalf, the way that leads to everlasting life. There's a day when such words will become a reality, and we will stand before the very God who has spoken through his word. And I ask, in light of this, have you understood the significance of God's word? Do you recognize that it is true, that it is eternal, that it stands forever, that it is there to guide us to wisdom, to be our great strength each day, to be our joy, our delight, our daily bread, to be our meditation day and night? Have you understood the truth of God's word? If you have, let me encourage you to continue in this, that we can live this out as the people of God at Castle Hill Baptist by reading together, by meeting together week in and week out, to discussing with one another the words of God. To not just hear the words, but to encourage one another to live these eternal truths out. That we can be intentional in placing ourselves in situations like tonight where the Word of God is being taught and actively take steps to do this. Bit by bit, we can build a house brick by brick. We can do this having a foundation of consistent reading in the Word, consistent meditation. That we can each day seek to read and grow. And while it may not be obvious in the moment, while it's hard to always see the benefits of this each day, there will come times we recognize God working through this. There will come times when we are in conversations and something we read in that very morning will come up in conversation. When we're given an opportunity to witness, to evangelize, to share the words of God, and we are reminded of what we have read. I don't know about you, but unfortunately, I've had too many times where I've neglected reading the Word. And I've had a conversation with someone. And I maybe have not thought through it properly. And then the very next day, in my next passage I'm reading, I read it and I go, if I had just read this the day before, this would have so helped that conversation. But by God's grace, whether or not I do read or don't, it doesn't change His will, of course. But how much better is it to have those moments when you see the blessing of reading His Word rather than skipping it? Because sometimes in the mundane, there will come great opportunities. God's words are more important than our desires. God's words are more important than ours. I was reading earlier this week about how far we've drilled into the earth. And the furthest we've gone is just over 12 kilometers down, somewhere in Russia. And as you read, you see why they had to stop. Each day they drilled further and further and further, but they reached a point where they could drill no longer. They reached a point where their machines could not keep going, when the earth's core was too hot, when it wouldn't work. There came a point where they could not dig further. But with the Word, no such thing is possible. There is no point where we can dig and dig and dig and dig day after day, week after week, year after year, and reach a point where we have dug too far down that there is nothing left. Be encouraged that there is each day so much there for us to see. That we can never reach a point where there is nothing left. That we can look forward to each moment that we read and long for more of God's Word to be pressed upon our hearts. More of how He offers us comfort and hope in all situations. More of how we can trust and depend on Him to strengthen and carry us. Continue, brothers and sisters, in storing up your treasures in heaven, built upon the foundation of God's Word, for they will not rust or decay, because God's Word stands forever. We can look to heaven. We can look forward to heaven, because in His presence, His words are made complete. Everything that we've heard of, we get to see. No longer do we have sin lingering in our minds as we try and read. No longer are we tainted by our own thoughts as we try and focus upon His Word. No longer will we have to read over and over to try to understand what is going on. No longer will we struggle in the morning to read God's Word. No longer will we be tired to sit and listen. No longer will sin have such a grip on us that we just struggle to read and we're discouraged to read. No longer will we be tempted and distracted by the things of this world. No longer will we find it hard to read consistently, because it is hard. There's a time in the end when the Lord Jesus comes, we will hear and see his word for what it is. What a glorious day this will be. See, God's words are exactly how he comforts us. It's not the only way, but it is the primary way. That through his word we see who he is, that we can know him, that we can see how much he loves us, that his word is confirmed to be true. Israel at the time would have been able to have confidence in this message as they've heard the change from the judgment to the comfort that God brings. And not only do we get to hear what Isaiah said, what God said through him, but we get to see the fulfillment of this comfort, that all who are weary and heavy laden can come and find rest in Jesus, that we can enter into the throne room of God because Jesus gives us access, that we can trust Jesus has paid for our sins and therefore there is now no condemnation for us. Do you see this in his word? The coziness we can have to be able to rest our heads on the pillow of God's character. Do you see the relief we can have that we can know God will never leave us? Do you see the luxury we can enjoy knowing that we aren't just in any house, but we are in the house of God as his children? Do you see that we can trust in our captain who goes before us? Do you see the comfort God's word offers? That if you have faith in the way that has been made for Yahweh in the wilderness, in the highway prepared for our God, for the revealed glory of him, for Jesus, the payment for our sin, that we will reign with him in eternity. If you're not comfortable, if you're not comfortable with God's word, if you don't have that peace and assurance of the things to come, praise God that there is a way to be comfortable. That you can recognize that something here is wrong. That comfort comes from knowing the one true God has spoken. That through his word, he shows us how to live, and he shows us how to live well in all circumstances. That we don't have to be blown around by the wind. And Peter, he uses these very words from Isaiah in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. He says, through him, through Jesus, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and eternal, enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of any malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Comfort is found in the word spoken. It is found in the word revealed, and it is found in the word confirmed to us in Jesus. Let me pray for us. Father, your words are life. Your words are true. They change us and convict us and shape us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your words stand forever. Your words are there with us in our hardest moments. Your words bring us comfort. Your words that we see revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for. We thank you that it is in him that we find comfort in all circumstances. May his words, may your words lead us each day as we grow in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Show us more of Christ as we read, to the glory of his name. In Jesus' name, amen.